This is the 48th meeting of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee. Today is February the 3rd. The time is 3:02. Let the record show that Representatives Cato, Savacki, and Springer are in attendance. We have a quorum to conduct business. On today's calendar, we have HCR 33 relating to annexations recommended by the Logie Boundary Commission, and House Bill 381, an act making special appropriations for the Public School Foundation Program, State Revenue Sharing Program, and Municipal Assistance Program for fiscal year 1990, and providing for an effective date. We have HCR 33. The prime sponsor is Representative Schultz. I don't see him here. Is there anybody here to testify on that? Bill?
Oh, that bird brain. Why doesn't show up in his knees?
Well, I had indication here first that he was going to be here to testify, but I saw him over in the joint meeting with
Envoy,
with Bill Horn. So I think I know what the crux of the bill is. I don't want to preempt what Representative Schultz wants to say, but reading the bill, the intent apparently is to put a moratorium on existing boroughs to extend their boundaries, and the moratorium is 18 months before the Logie Boundary Commission could act on such a thing. Let the record show that Representatives Collins and Hermans are in attendance too, and apparently Representative Schultz is on the way. We have, on that subject, we have another bill, House Bill number 1, in the hopper. And in last week when we had a session on House Bill number 1, I raised the question about this House Concurrent Resolution number 33, if there was a conflict, and the prime sponsor of the second sponsor substitute on House Bill 1 said he didn't see any conflict because the revised House Bill 1 has another time frame now which could accommodate an 18-month period as a moratorium. If I understand it right, the reason for that bill was the fact that first the Mat-Su Borough made some moves to incorporate a section of the area that has a pipeline down in the Glen Allen area. And if I also understand it right, the Fairbanks North Star Borough has or is making moves to annex some areas again with the pipeline corridor in the Delta area. So in the absence of any other testimony, our folder contains some data supporting that bill. We got 8 POMs in there. We got a bill review from the CRA staff, and there's a zero fiscal note, and none of them express any opposition to the bill. We haven't heard from anybody else, so I open it to discussion at that point. Representative Savacki.
Yeah, as I said earlier, I have no objections at all with the resolution, other than if someone could give me a little further explanation about the 18-month period as to how it's going to delay either formation of an organized borough or annexation of certain areas to an existing borough. I guess I have a puzzle about annexation to an existing borough. Does it affect it at all? Does it still provide the input necessary from the area to be affected?
Okay, well, we just have the prime sponsor here.
Good.
And
make them do the work.
We have already started. We're just about done with that bill. The question that was raised by Representative Savacki is the 18-month issue, and maybe at that point we should let Representative Schultz give a short synopsis what he is intending to do with the bill, and then you can restate your question. How is that? Okay, you got the floor.
Well, primarily as the result of the question of annexation and the whole idea of formulation of boroughs has stimulated a lot of discussion throughout the state and primarily in those areas like the Delta and the Glen Allen area, where they've got several hundred miles of a pipeline. And they need, they are moving on meetings and finalize, or trying to come up with ideas and get people there from Community and Regional Affairs, legislature, whoever it may be, to participate in hearings or asking questions to the Boundary Commission, so on and so forth. And this simply would allow them the time to be able to look at all of their alternatives without fear of annexation or something, a boralization being, you know, forced upon them involuntarily.
Okay, Representative Savacki had a question on that interrelationship and the time frame.
Okay. Like, according to the way you have it here, and again, you can maybe explain it a little further there. That you say 18 months in regards to the formation of unorganized boroughs. Let me see here. Okay. You're saying that if an area is being considered to be annexed to an existing borough, that you would like to have a minimum 18 months study period.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
What if there's already discussions going on, let's say right now, in regards to the possible annexation of a certain area to an organized borough at this time?
Well,
would this suddenly say, from today, you're still going to be required to study it for 18 more months?
If there's studies of annexation going on, then what we're asking for is that no one can be involuntarily annexed into another borough, period, for an 18-month period, that they have a chance to look at it, that whole thing is studied. The boroughs that presently exist are almost unmanageable at the present time because of their size. And the annexation, the other boroughs would be looking at annexation. They certainly wouldn't be looking at, for example, the annexation of the Toke area because there's a tax base. They're going to be primarily looking at areas that can contribute a pretty significant portion of their tax base to them. And that's all we're asking for, the opportunity to hold hearings, REAA boundaries, however it may be, home rule boroughs, to look at all of the alternatives that can come up, and we're asking the legislature to participate, even hopefully, in this 18-month period to hold the meetings in these impacted areas.
Yep. And again, okay, I understand. And you brought up one word that I guess still puzzles me. I could understand, and I support the entire resolution, and I could also support where you said involuntarily. I would agree with you totally. If you got a group out there suddenly being told or suddenly being shown that they may suddenly wind up being under the borough and they don't want to, I could support the 18-month period. But what I'm saying is, if you have an area that is already discussing with the borough the possibility of being annexed, in other words, there's an agreement and they are discussing it now, would that preclude them?
Has nothing to do with it. We do not want to stop anything. For example, if the Glen Allen area wanted to voluntarily go with the Matsu borough and be included in that, in that borough, no, that does not stop that kind of thing.
It only
has to do with the involuntarily being excluded from this thing, going to the Boundary Commission, having the Boundary Commission make a decision, turning around and coming in and having the legislature within 45 days bring this up and responding to it favorably or unfavorably.
Okay. That's I understand. In fact, that's a situation that happened, I think, in Haines. We brought up last year that had a problem. They didn't want it, and suddenly they were told, you're going to have it.
Yeah.
So that's what you're trying to avoid. Okay.
Representative Cato.
Representative Shelston, you're reacting much as I am, in as much as I still have Chittenden and McCarthy in the middle of this. You're reacting to the paranoia that has been created about you will be annexed whether you like it or not. You will be in a borough mandatorily whether you like it or not.
There's a great fear
that has been created.
Right. There's a great fear of that. Now, I understand that, and reading the papers and things, I haven't talked to the assembly in the Matsu, but I understand that they have, in fact, withdrawn their annexation proposal. However, that does not preclude them from resubmitting that annexation proposal to the Boundary Commission once the legislature adjourns, doing it in a timely manner before October 15th, having the Boundary Commission decide maybe, which I doubt that the Boundary Commission would, but there is a potential there that the Boundary Commission could say, okay, you've got your ducks in line, yeah, we agree, and we're going to extend your boundaries out. Then they are automatically in a borough, in that borough, and the only way that they could be taken out of that borough is if the legislature would bring the Boundary Commission decision up and defeat it. So there's a very real possibility that annexation could take place on an involuntarily without, you know, a lot of due process and public hearings and everything else.
But
we have examples to that effect. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the disillusionment. City.
Well, but I also remember Fairbanks North Star Borough. There were annexation procedures where it was against the civil of the people that were annexed.
Yeah. Also, now on the 18 months, what are we talking about 18 months? We don't have an effective date on resolutions, obviously. But 18 months from when?
Oh, I would say from the time that
the 90 days that it takes?
Right. You know, signed into law, whatever. We're asking for 18
okay,
months. So that gives them this year, you know, the rest of this year, whatever it may be, whenever this would pass, up until through the legislative session of next year to take a look at this whole thing and begin formulating some ideas of whether they want to be home rule. There's been lots of ideas that have come out just in the hearings, the small number of hearings that have been held, some really good ideas. Maybe more will emerge.
Representative Mayor, I'd like to make a comment, and I think I made it the other day, but I'm not sure whether I clarified it or not. But in my own area, because of the amount of attention that HB1 has gotten, some people in my own area think that it's absolutely mandatory that they form a borough right now. Our own P&Z chairman in Valdez says that it's mandatory. And it's because of HB1 and isn't mandatory at the present time.
Right.
And so I think I'd like to state that I support this in as much as I don't think people should be annexed unless they want to be, unless they're prepared to be and know what they're getting into.
Just for the information of the committee, I don't really know where the municipalities or anybody gets that idea that they have to be organized or anything. We just send out, how many did we send out, David?
Almost 400.
We send out again to all the administrations of municipal government, all the boroughs, to all the school districts, to all the superintendents, to all the native corporations, the same position papers on the second sponsor substitute on House Bill 1 as we did for the first. So if somebody is coming in like that, they're either not reading their correspondence or they are just like to participate in the rumor mill, because that type of a situation should not occur, because we have made, this committee has made a very concentrated and directed effort to inform everybody what's up.
Might I say that sometimes commissioners on a P&Z or something like that in a local municipality don't always get the mail.
Well, that's true. But I want to react just a little bit to to that exhibit number 2 in our file that is apparently the bill review from CRA staff. When you say CRA staff, is that us or that's David? And says that it sends some cross signals on governance issues across. And on the surface, that may be right. But I don't think if you read resolution number 33 in detail, that should be the case, because there are two different issues. And I think in a nutshell, it does not prevent right now any areas that desires to be annexed with the borough to be acted upon. The Boundary Commission has still the same functions, has the same rights if the citizens want to do it. It just prevents the other way around. It prevents the takeover of a certain area where the people don't want to be annexed, where a borough would take the initiative. So I don't...
I would call that a merger. rather than, I mean, if two bodies agreed to come together to expand, I wouldn't call that an annexation. I would call that a merging of a borough.
I my personal assessment is from all the testimony and everything we have heard in the interim, that resolution will give a lot of people that are experiencing anxiety right now, it will give them comfort, because that feeling that there is some avalanche coming down their way over which they have no control, that is out of the way. And if they get that feeling that there is going to be due deliberation and distribution of information, that they have some part in that whole process, and I think it's going to go a long ways to just put things at ease and put the lid on some pots that are boiling right now. Any other comments or we have another witness signed up, but that's all for the next bill. Okay. No more questions. I entertain them. Yeah.
Could we have the department up there? CRA?
The DCRA?
Yeah.
Did they have any comments or anything?
I think those were addressed by the sponsor. That I guess the question that we would have is when that 18 months would
start.
Would start, and I think the sponsor answered that the effect of the resolution.
Okay, we already stated that there's no conflict, as far as we know, with the sponsor substitute in House Bill 1, which is the other one that deals with those type of issues. Representative Herman?
Yeah, Representative Schultz, could you clarify for me the language on line 27 through 29? It says, be it further resolved that the local boundary commission is requested to postpone for a minimum of 18 months borough annexation procedures for an area where the formation of an organized borough is being studied. So that means just that there's already the borough there, and you're talking about any annexation to that existing borough.
For a borough that presently exists, for them to be looking beyond the boundaries for annexation, asking for an 18-month postponement. In those areas where, because of House Bill 1, people are looking, communities are organizing with their own little committees, already discussing how to go about what kinds of boundaries they would like to have, or whatever the discussions may be that they're having. But they are discussing the whole borough concept. So in areas where the communities are, in fact, looking at their alternatives, et cetera, which is every community in the unorganized area that I can think of, they're looking at all their alternatives, that this would give them ample time to us to study that.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, I agree with this piece of legislation, but I also agree in total opposition to House Bill 1, you know, that maybe we should just write our own resolution saying, you know, when people are ready to organize, they'll organize, you know, and in fact, you know, it says borough annexation, I'd say borough formation and annexation. I mean, that's how I feel, and, you know, I don't have any problem with this.
Okay. But when we're speaking of formation, you know, we're saying for an area where the formation of an organized borough is being studied. Whether, regardless of whether, you know, it's a matter of terminology, there's a lot of people in the areas, in the unorganized areas, that feel that just the word unorganized in front of borough is, in fact, they are a borough. They are unorganized in that they do not have a central form of government or elected bodies representing them, but they feel as though that they are a borough. We're talking about organized boroughs. When we think of organized boroughs living in an unorganized area, we are looking at boroughs that in fact exist, North Star, you know, the Mat-Su, those kinds of boroughs. So. And they're looking at them.
Yeah, see, there's areas, too, you know, that are being studied for borough formation, but that's not saying that those people are asking for that, you know.
Right. I mean, and this allows them, and if they would so choose, if an area says, hey, we're not going to wait 18 months, and we want to form a borough, they can petition the Boundary Commission to become one.
Yeah. Yeah, the Boundary Commission, the responsibilities and the authorization of the Boundary Commission is not diminished with that piece here. It is just that the actions of a borough to annex other areas is going to be limited.
Yeah, and also, and I think what Representative Herman's, and I think what Representative Schultz is trying to do is, you know, we're all saying that, you know, there's opposition in House Bill 1, and some are against it, but it's still, the fact is, it is going to be studied and looked at probably during this session and into next session. It's kind of like, if something out there suddenly puts this on a fast track, you're going to have at least a minimum of 18 months before anything can be done. So you could say that House Bill 1 may die, but if something comes up next session that suddenly puts it on a fast track, you've at least got a buffer in there of 18 months to delay any specific action to give everybody time to address it, and that's exactly what you're trying to do with this.
Right, and I think that's what the lines 23 through 26 do, you know, that the is requested to take the full consideration of the desire of the residents of an area in the unorganized borough, which is all of them, to be self, the whole concept of self-government and self-government, and give them reasonable time to study this concept and have the alternatives and everything else explained to them as to how they go about it, what is mandated, what is not mandated, you know, what kinds of things can you come in under, what are their options, are there any options, you know, looking at the whole gamut of things. I mean, there's a lot of questions that people have.
Okay, any more questions or comments from the committee?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd move that we move House Concurrent Resolution number 33 out of committee with individual recommendations.
Do I hear any objections? Okay, thank you, Mr. Schultz.
Would you please those people sign up and send POMs?
You all
send all four of them?
The salamanders. The salamanders.
You are as a beer.
Don't you call my friends that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next we got House Bill 381 that is apparently an appropriations bill on the public school foundation program, state revenue sharing program, and municipal assistance program for fiscal year 1990. And Dr. Representative Sund, they're also over in the ANVOR hearing, but I think we have two witnesses signed up to testify. Steve McPeters, would you come forward and make your presentation, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am Steve McPeters. I am the Executive Director of the Alaska Council of School Administrators. I realize that your prime interest is probably in the areas of state revenue sharing and municipal assistance, but I think it's also important to alert you to some of the concerns we have with the appropriation that is currently in this bill. We are definitely encouraged by the efforts of the sponsors to provide some mechanism for forward funding. This has been a goal that we have had and other educational organizations have had this year to try and get something in line that will give us some information, some notification that what our appropriation would be in a year in advance. But I would like to alert you to the fact that the appropriation amount that's in the foundation program is an amount that we are concerned with, and the fact that we are not currently receiving the full funding. We're still receiving adequate funding, but not full funding. As we read newspapers, you yourselves hear from your constituents in your own areas, you know that there are school districts, individual schools that are having difficulty in opening their doors, keeping people employed, trying to keep the student-teacher ratio down to a minimum. But yet, with the current level of funding, we are doing the minimum, and we'd like to do more. I'd like to show you just briefly a little chart, little graphics that I did to kind of dramatize where we are today, and if indeed this amount stays in law for 1990, that percentage is going to go down. You'll notice that the black is the student population decline. You'll see that it's a very slight decline. It goes from 103,000 to about 102,000. However, you'll see that the dollar sign per student goes from $4,607 down to next year to $3,700. and $82, an 18% jump or drop. So while we're decreasing 1% student population-wise, we're decreasing 18% on funding-wise. And we are listening to all kinds of concerns about suicide prevention programs, health prevention programs, preschool programs in schools, trying to lower the primary grade student-teacher ratios. And we're hearing that these are wanting to be attempted by other mechanisms other than general revenue sources and general funding sources, formula sources. And we would like to encourage you to consider that the amount be adjusted upwards to allow for some of these concerns to be spoken to in the general program to ensure the continuity to take place years and years and years to go. Bye. So with that, I will be happy to answer any questions. Again, we compliment the sponsors for their introduction of this bill. We would like them to examine the fact that the forward funding only assures that the instructional unit value remains at $60,000. And that is still an amount that we are living under this year. We will possibly be living under next year. And it's going to be very difficult to live under that in FY90.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Representative Sabaki.
Well, I don't know if he can answer it unless we get...
What's the fiscal 89 budget right now for forward funding municipal assistance and revenue sharing? Unless I'm wrong, $428 million, I believe, is below fiscal 89.
Yes.
Considerably, in fact. What is it, 446?
446 is...
Yeah, I had the same question.
Yeah. So we're asking for a cut of about $18 million in the public... I know exactly where I'm going on this bill. I don't need to go any further. Go right ahead.
For every $1,000 that we would like to increase the foundation instructional unit, it would cost the state about $7.3 million.
Any more questions right now?
Thank you.
I have a lot of questions, but not necessarily to you. Thank you. Then we also got Mary Haglala from the Department of Education.
Yes.
Okay.
For the record, my name is Mary Hakala, Department of Education. As you are probably all aware, the State Board of Education is strongly in support of full funding and the forward funding concepts for the foundation program. I just wanted to alert you to what our revised full funding estimate for FY89, the current year, and 90 is. It does differ with Section 1 appropriation. And what our current estimate of full funding would be is $446,900,000, basically. That is made up of $8.8 million of the public school fund, $21.2 million of PL 874, and $415.9 million general fund. We do have the exact figures, which we'd be happy to provide the committee if you would choose to revise the numbers at all.
Excuse me, can you batch up and give me those three figures again? I apologize.
No problem. The public school fund is actually 8830.9. That's rounded in thousands.
Okay, right.
Public law 874 would be 21246.1. And the general fund would then be 415923.9, which would provide the total of 446,000.9. Which is our current best estimate for both 89 and 90. We are not revising the number for 90. Our crystal ball doesn't go that far. We really think it will be very similar to the current year full funding estimate. That does not include some of the 874 issues, which may affect foundation program costs or any changes in assessed values, which are also issues that are pending in terms of the foundation program costs. Be aware of that. But that is our current best estimate for full funding. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the committee, Representative Sabaki?
From you or the department, how do you, considering what funds we're looking at for fiscal 89, how do you view, or the department view, this concept, knowing that we're actually decreasing forward funding?
Well, the State Board is definitely in support of forward funding. Concept, definitely forward funding of the full amount, which is what we would advocate here and request that you consider revising the foundation totals here. I'm not sure what the sponsors intended. I would not be surprised. I don't know. I don't want to presume, but I had thought that they had initially supposed that these were the full funding estimates. So I remember something revised.
Representative
Cato? No, I didn't have a question for Mary, but I have a question after.
Yeah. Anybody else has any questions or comments? Thank you. Anybody else here signed up to testify? Come on forward, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bob Manners. I'm with NEA Alaska. And I'm sorry I'm late, but there was another hearing. NEA Alaska supports the concept of forward funding, and we encourage and hope that this committee and the legislature will be favorably disposed to that. We do have a concern about the level of the figure, the $428 million, in terms of its adequacy even in the current year, and the probability that a year down the road that figure is going to be need to be much, much higher. I would remind the committee, as I'm sure you're well aware, that over the last couple of years, the funding level for public education in the state has been decreased by somewhere between $75 and $80 million. And then last year, the state's share of the teacher retirement contribution was also passed along to school districts to absorb in their current budgets, and that figure is somewhere in the vicinity of $25 to $30 million. So probably in the last 2 years, it's reasonable to say the school district's ability to fund programs from the state level has been diminished by nearly $100 million. So we would encourage that you take a hard look at the adequacy of the $428 million in terms of a forward funding figure.
Any questions or comments?
Yeah, just maybe a comment. I don't know if you kind of picked up on part of our concerns already. We were somewhat surprised by the reduction in the amount that's shown here from the present, which still has not been decided on. So I think there's a serious concern by some of us.
As the previous witness indicated, my sense would be that probably looking at the sponsors, that the intent is to fully fund it, and that might have been an earlier figure that was made available. I think I've seen this figure in draft legislation some time ago, but the reality of enrollment, program and need, and so on, strongly suggests that figure won't meet the need.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I want to make a couple comments here. Number one, another witness? Okay. Come on forward. Are there any more in the elevator, or are you guys using a new approach, huh?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Scott Burgess with the Alaska Municipal League, and I apologize for being late. Believe it or not, the last committee that started at 1:30 just got over, and I apologize for being here late. It won't take a lot of your time. I don't think that my comments would come as any surprise. We support the bill. We support the concept of forward funding, and we also have concerns with the numbers, as was expressed earlier. However, I wouldn't want to drop a bombshell that was dropped on you earlier this week. Get too confused with this piece of legislation. This is forward funding. I think it's critical, but I think that you need to look at all the programs. They are interrelated in terms of the municipality's ability to budget for education as well as other important services. And you have critical pieces of that puzzle before you. I think the numbers do need to be reviewed. I think those numbers can be provided to the staff by the appropriate folks. We certainly would do what we can. There is one piece that isn't on that. Of course, that is school debt reimbursement. And when you're talking education, it's very difficult to talk the foundation only without the other programs.
Thank you. Any questions? Anybody else? Doesn't look like it. Well, I just wanted to make a couple comments, and I get to your representative Cato. I feel very queasy at this point to consider to let that bill out of committee for basically three reasons. Number one, we got a situation where the Senate has sent a bill to the House that already addresses at least part of that bill, and that is the forward funding in schools. It doesn't address the municipal aspect of this bill. Second, I agree there's doesn't address the school debt retirement, and that is closely linked to the whole question of education funding. And the third thing, I'm even disregarding the level of funding. I have a real problem right now to tie myself down to a given figure if we don't have a better handle on the other bills, on the revenue sources, and how we are going to address the whole budgetary process. If I understand it right, this Senate bill, what is it, 330, should come up. That has been referred to another committee. That should come up next week sometimes, probably on the floor to vote on. That bill here has another referral to the HES committee, which is overloaded already. I don't think that there is anything delayed if we take a wait-and-see attitude and look what Senate Bill 330 is going to do. And if it looks like that becomes a very crucial bill to address the forward funding process, we can get it through pretty fast. But I think there are other mechanisms right now in effect to address that problem. Okay, any other comments or questions?
I just want to make a comment. Is there anyone here, the sponsors, or any representatives from the sponsors?
I asked a couple times if anybody wanted to testify yet.
I'm sorry, Representative Springer. My name is Nivette Bowen. I work for Representative Sund, and he should be here to testify, but he's over at the Anmore hearings. And I think all I can say is, as far as the numbers in the bill, I think what Representative Sund would like to do is to tell the communities and school districts out there that they will at least get what they got the previous year in terms of the numbers, and to go, and that's what I understood him to tell me before the committee meeting. And I apologize that he's not here, and I'd rather have him address you on other things. And the other, Scott just pointed out to me that Senate Bill 330 is not forward funding, but is for FY89.
Senate Bill 330 has some forward funding in it, yeah.
Early funding.
Oh, okay. I stand to be corrected, yeah. We just want to get it out for this fiscal year. That one addresses it down to 89. That's right. But probably the funding level that's going to be addressed in 330 is going to have some bearing on what's going to happen down the line, too. Representative Cato.
This disturbs me even more that it's 1990. Inasmuch as we don't have a handle at all on the 1990 revenues, and to forward fund municipal revenue sharing and municipal assistance, along with a forward funding of education, when we don't have a handle on 1990, it seems to me that we're trying to preclude the budgetary process. And frankly, I'm definitely not in favor of passing it out of committee.
Well, if I read it right, doesn't the governor's, in his speech, I think the governor wanted to address funding that, the education forward funding, through a separate method. And that revenue source hasn't been hashed out by a long shot yet.
Yes. Just for a point of information, I'm sure the Representative Cato remembers too, that under the old foundation laws, when we did have the instructional unit value in the law books, we did have a source of forward funding, and the fact that it said you will have 40,000 as an instructional unit this year, and you will have 43,000 for an instructional unit next year. And that way, it gave the legislature a direction as to what it was going to take to fund X number of dollars. And that would be a cleaner way to look at that instructional unit and say, next year we're going to increase it by however many dollars you'd want to, and say, put that in the law book, and then go from that direction.
Other thing, if I may make a statement, and this, if the numbers are not correct, could very obviously mean that you'd have to come back in the year 1990 for supplemental. And I think that particular aspect should be addressed. And we don't have anybody here to address questions. Would that happen?
I wouldn't have that much heartburn over the figures alone, because ultimately it's going to go to the Finance Committee, and that's where the dollar wizards are going to file and whack around on that bill anyway, regardless what we do. But I think it's a little bit premature to act on it on some of the non-monetary things that are contained in here. Does anybody has any objection or heartburn if we hold it in committee? Okay, I thank you. We are adjourned then at 3:42.